our own best interest, and that's the way we see it, to assure that migration is safe, legally, and ordered. The same happens. We work on cooperation on security matters with the United States because it's also in our best interest, and we will continue to do so.
That's the ambassador from Mexico talking about how safe migration is their top priority and making sure people safely get from Honduras to the United States, but don't stop in Mexico. That's what he left out.
Right.
Because we won't have people sneaking into our country. We won't allow that.
Right.
But we think it should happen in your country.
Those that aren't raped and killed in Mexico will find a happy home in the States.
And if you don't allow that, well, then you're probably racist. That is also part of the message. Couple of reasons, a couple of interesting things about the lottery. So it's up over $1 billion. Is the other one available too? So are they both still not
one? Oh, yeah.
One?
Yeah.
So you got one $1 billion+ and one nearing $1 billion.
Well, yeah, the Mega Millions is getting close to two.
I don't play the lottery. I think it's bad. I think it's bad for society. I think it's bad for your own personal view of life.
It's loser talk.
But there's a couple of articles on why it's a good idea to buy lottery tickets. I don't think it is. If you could stay completely emotionally detached from it, you're not going to miss a dollar or two. So it only makes sense.
Right.
To do it, but that most people I know, they spend a lot of time fantasizing about the lottery, and that's just craziness to me. But here's a story. A lawyer is saying, don't get into those office pools, which practically everybody is doing right now.
Right.
They got an example of a couple of different lawsuits that have happened across the country where the office does win, and then somebody sues somebody. And this is what happens a lot, and I could see how this would happen. So we buy tickets together. Marshall wins, and he says, yeah, but it wasn't. I didn't win with one of the tickets that we all bought as a pool. I won with one of my own tickets.
Right.
Well, how do you prove that or not?
Oh, boy.
Unless you took the time to nail down, you know, documentation of which tickets are yours. And who's going to, most people aren't going to do that.
Tell you who's going to get rich, the lawyers.
Most people aren't going to do that because you all know you're not actually going to win.
Right.
But it would be pretty easy to say.
That's what I'd claim, and screw all of you.
I bought my own lottery tickets, and this is my own lottery ticket.
Right, yeah. The pool one lost. Sorry.
My own personal ticket won. So watch out for that, or look forward to turning on your coworkers viciously.
Yes. So,
yes, I've been waiting for
positive
that.
Sean has made his choice. What about the idea of buying up every possible combination?
Yeah, because last week, I remember for a particular drawing last Wednesday, it was like a chances were 1 in 300 some million.
Well, your odds don't change of winning.
No matter what?
Yeah. That's one of the reasons why some gamblers say your value per ticket, since the odds don't change, it's actually a better value once the jackpot reaches certain crescendos.
In the Mega Millions drawing, 5 numbered balls are drawn from a drum with 70 balls. Final bonus ball is drawn from a drum with 25 balls. You got to match all 6 numbers to win the full jackpot. There are smaller fixed prizes. So, as there are 12,103,014 possible combinations of the first 5 numbers, and you have to multiply that, if you know about probability, you multiply that by the 25 options for the final ball, you get about 302.5 million possible Mega Millions tickets. At $2 per ticket, then, you'd have to buy every possible combination. It would cost you $605 million, $150,700. Now, presuming you have that much money in the bank and your little schemeroony worked, you know, your cost would be $605, your payout would be $978. You'd make about $374 million, which is a great idea, unless somebody else gets, well, there are a number of complications.
You got to hope you're the only winner, yeah.
Including, the first problem is the actual physical act of buying more than 300 million Mega Millions tickets and filling them out by hand.
What is taking so long in this line? I'm just trying to buy a monster drink and some cigarettes.
I'm up to 80 million. I got like 220 to go. Sorry.
I'm buying 300 million.
Well, you'd
tickets.
Have to somehow design a device that could carefully and systematically make sure you got every ticket. Because if you want a specific set of numbers, you have to enter that manually 350 million times.
I feel like all this lottery talk is similar to what I would do if I were president or something like that.
Or was suddenly in a high security prison.
None of these things are going to happen, so what difference does it make?
The second and larger problem with our comprehensive Mega Millions scheme is the risk of splitting the jackpot. Oh, so if you split it two or more ways, obviously that would be devastating to your plan. And if it was just two people winning, that would cut you in half. You'd lose $78 million. So, you know.
And so it's up to nearly $2 billion now, so you could have 2,000 millionaires.
Yes.
But human nature doesn't like that.
Or 200 people winning $10 million. Think about that.
That seems clearly a better option, but that's not what human nature wants. Human nature wants the whole thing. Some sort of weird gold fever greediness thing in human nature that I don't quite understand.
Maybe it's pure mathematics, like Positive Sean was trying to suggest. Because
I'd sign up right now. How about they split it up, 2,000 people get $1 million?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Seems like a good idea.
I look forward to that drawing.
Yes, societally, no question, that would be a better on balance result.
$1 million is a lot of freaking money.
Yeah. I could smite so many enemies with that.
Coming up,
smiting them right and left.
One thing I'd do with all that money if I wanted, I'd do crazy Elon Musk style stuff, like building a tunnel with high speed travel that's going to open in December. Remember, we've been hearing about this hyperlink thing.
I assumed this was going to be like in the year 2032. They'd have a prototype ready, but right. No, not Elon Musk. My boy, my man, Elon.
Like a month or so. So we'll talk about that coming up.
Yeah, we have a journalist who's going to tell you you could jump on the dang thing by Christmas. Kind of, sort of. But close enough.
Whether you get off with all your innards intact,
oh,
I don't know.
Stop it, you doubter. Doubter?
We're going to hurl you through a tunnel at 150 miles an hour, then stop you somehow?
I feel like if Elon asked me, I would run the maiden voyage of that. But I think he would have to personally ask me.
And I'd have to have a long talk with him.
Yeah.
Now, how do you
Why aren't
me down?
You on the thing? Well, I've got to, you know, help the engineers.
I got to push the button.
Yeah, I bet the engineers can do it yourself. How about you get on here with me? It's very important I be in the control room. I don't know.
I'm going a few blocks across town at 155 miles an hour. How do you slow me down?
Gradually. Your predecessors were probably standing by the side of the road shouting, "You've got it intended, the motor car, we'd all drink gasoline," or something. Some Luddite crap. Embrace the future.
That would have been a heck of a heckle.
The future is getting shot out of a gun in a tube. And then somehow coming to a stop. Embrace it.
Without your liver being flattened.
That'll be fine. It's very resilient, the human liver. Fascinating organ.
Most people's hearts will start beating again. We'll get all the details on how that's going to work. Coming up on the Armstrong and Getty Show.
Armstrong and Getty.
The conscience of the nation.
The Armstrong and Getty Show.
You know,
heck yeah, it is.
Joe Walsh had cool riffs.
Oh yeah, he's crazy as a nut, but he's a little guitar slinger.
So we like Elon Musk around here. We like people who think outside the box. He thinks way outside the box,
right? Not constrained by government nor really greed for profit. I mean, he's trying to make
or
a profit,
laws,
right?
In some cases,
stop it. But his latest, well, one of his many ventures is the Hyperloop and his boring company, as in digging, not uninteresting, is ready to test a tunnel for high-speed travel this year. If you've ever wanted to be shot through a tube by Elon Musk, this is exciting news. And Hamza Shaban of the Washington Post, tech reporter, joins us now to talk about it. Hamza, how are you?
I'm well. How are you?
Excellent. Thank you. So how extensive a test are we talking about? How much tunnel? What's happening?
So it's about 2 miles of tunnels, so it's relatively short. But the big news is that on December 10th, that test tunnel will be open to the public for the very first time.
Okay. Well, tell us what this thing is. What does it do?
So the test tunnel is designed to just demonstrate the feasibility of this underground tunnel network that Musk envisions for this high-speed alternative to help us deal with the nightmare that is L.A. traffic and traffic elsewhere across the United States.
How high speed?
So he says this test tube will go as fast as 155 miles per hour for passengers.
And as I mentioned yesterday when we were discussing this, if you can average 35 miles per hour across L.A., it's a miracle. So that would be great. Are you aware, though, Hamza, that California's ancient governor is planning a choo-choo train that will slowly chug from the north to the south? Why would we embrace an incredible new technology like this? You don't have to answer that if you don't want.
So is this just basically a subway that goes faster than most subways, or what is it?
So one of the key differences that Musk says between this system and the subway is that there'll just be a lot more stations, and it won't be these kind of congested central terminals, but this kind of decentralized, a number of hubs that don't have this kind of giant footprint on the street level, and that it's kind of seamless for you to enter and exit, and that all routes will be express. So there's also not multiple stops to get to your destination.
Do you sit in a chair and wear a seatbelt, or how does it work? Do you know?
So it's unclear, but there are two scenarios. So the one is actually you're just in your car, and the car kind of latches on to this what's called a skate, and then you are shuttled to your destination. And in another scenario, you're a pedestrian or a cyclist. So I can imagine there being seats and seat belts, but it's like I said, there's also another scenario where there's a car and there's no pedestrian.
Quoting your fine piece of journalism, for longer routes, this vacuum-based system could move people in cars without wind resistance, with pods traveling faster than 600 miles per hour. It's impressive.
Yeah, that's Musk's kind of long-term vision, is that this tunnel system that he's building and pondering now will pave the way for an even more advanced, what's called a Hyperloop system, that deals with pressurized cabins that'll travel even faster than these high-speed networks that he's building now.
Interesting.
See, I don't believe you can hurl people along at 600 miles an hour and then have them stop without their hearts and livers getting squashed flat.
what's crazy is that speed is about how fast airplanes travel. So you're basically going as fast as that.
Yeah, stupid. Sorry, that was a little abusive and childlike. I apologize for that. I don't know what I was thinking. Hamza Shaban of the Washington Post. Hamza, we appreciate the report very much. Thanks for the information.
Thanks for having me.
Oh, it's our pleasure.
The plane does not get up in the air, travel just across town at 700 miles an hour, then land again.
Well, nor will this one. This one's just going to go 125.
Right.
Would you have stood on the beach and thrown rocks at the Wright brothers? It's a yes or no question.
Man, we'd have wings if God wanted to. You idiots.
Hey, take that, Orville. Oh!
Yeah, that Orville.
Yes. Oh, man. The Hyperloop. It's the future. This is excellent. I'm excited by this. Way to go, Elon. Although I did, in reading Hamza's article, become aware of the term Elon time, which indicates that the Musk melon is occasionally overly optimistic about when stuff will happen. When a Model 3 will roll off the assembly line, when, you know, a returnable rocket, reusable rocket will be ready. But that's, I mean, to criticize him for that would be dictionary definition cynicism. That would be denying the good and focusing on the bad.
Oh. Which is my hobby.
Yeah. Reminds me a little bit about this, sent along by alert listener Rob. You can email us, mailbag@armstrongandgetty.com. This is the ultimate example of the internet / social media. Here is the post about a 17-year-old lad. His name is Hart. H-A-R-T. Probably a family name. Hart, 17, was so fed up with his sister's flowery candles a few years ago that he decided to make his own. He created man cans. Candles with rugged smells like campfire or coffee.
I got a couple of man cans. I eat too much and I gain a little weight.
Sure. Just wear a sport coat. Nobody will see. So he created man cans, candles with rugged smells like campfire coffee that come in soup cans. To collect the cans, Hart buys soup and donates the contents to homeless shelters. He then sells his candles online, and to date, he has provided 80,000 meals to soup kitchens in 4 states. Learn more at man-cans.com. Then here's your comment. I'm not behind this. Still a white boy reinforcing gender stereotypes. I don't give a crap about how good of a person he is. I'm pretty sure there are some rapists out there who've donated to charities or done something good. Hitler's family probably thought he was a great person. Misogyny is still misogyny. And the response to that was, you just compare a 17-year-old boy who fed the homeless to Hitler?
Now, this is how out of whack we are.
It's time we get back in whack.
As we were taught by those researchers with their fake papers that they actually got published.
Yes.
I would like to think that that's a Russian troll or just a plain old troll trying to get people all fired up. But there's so many people with such crazy ideologies right now. I don't have any idea.
Yep.
I don't have any idea. There are people that have just crazy thoughts. Remember that stuff we were talking about the other day with those T-shirts about boys will be boys. Boys will be good humans.
Right.
That whole thing. There's some people out there that are really, really just unique in human history.
The postmodern grievance studies culture that we're breeding is A, suicidal, B, absolutely Looney Tunes. And what bothers me is the number of young people who not only believe it, but they get so fired up because they think they're doing the wrong thing, they seek to angrily spread that point of view. Oh, which brings us to Mitch McConnell and I think his wife were trying to eat the other day in his home state of Tennessee, and the elderly turtle-looking son of a gun was shouted out of the restaurant. And then...
Now, I heard one report I heard was the guy was pounding on his table while he yelled at him. Is that true? Can you stand there and pound on the table of the leader of the U.S. Senate and get away with it?
I'm shocked you don't end up in jail? I'm shocked that you can. And we have warned many, many times, if you put up with this, it will start going in both directions. And Nancy Pelosi did an appearance in Miami the other day. And a bunch of Cubans who are anti-communists, anti-socialists, because their families escaped that sort of regime, decided to meet Nancy as she was walking to the appearance.
Look at Nancy Pelosi right here. Look at this piece of shit right here. Look at this piece of shit, Pelosi, right here. F***ing communist. You don't belong here, you f***ing communist. Get the f*** out of here. Get the f*** out of here. You are wrong. You are wrong. You are wrong. You and your f***ing Democrat.
Boy, if
you don't, communista.
If you don't think we're headed toward violence, political violence, you're crazy. This just, you can't put up with this.
Now, it was okay when it was our side because our cause was so important. And we were justified in screaming at people and frightening them out of restaurants and howling at them on elevators because we were right. When the other side does it, they're wrong, so that's not good.
God, there you got.
We're not even grown-ups anymore.
McConnell and Pelosi, those are two of the big six, the six most powerful people in America.
Mm-hmm.
And you can't have people screaming, you're a piece of ass, or pounding on your table at the restaurant. You just can't have that.
Yeah. Then the guys proceeded to pound on the door, which I think was a back entrance and may not have made any difference. But, yeah. So that's on. It's on!
That is not good. What's coming up in your news, Marshall Phillips?
Well, President Trump says GOP voters are pumped and Republicans will do better than expected in the midterms. Meanwhile, you got the director of the CIA sent to Turkey looking into the death of Khashoggi. And what is the worst color to wear in photos? News you can use.
Flesh color for me. I don't look good in flesh-colored clothes. Stay tuned. You're listening to the Armstrong and Getty Show. Do you go up and down with your weight? Do you do that? No? I'm alone here?
Been the same weight since I was 17. No, yes, of course. Yeah, a lot.
I'm within a fairly small range, but it's amazing how much different you feel with not that many pounds. like in the effort to put on your shoes in the morning, etc. Unpleasant. Let's get the news now with Marcia Pelosi.
Well, President Trump is escalating his efforts to push immigration reform hard before the November elections. Trump complaining last night at a rally about the thousands of Central American migrants heading to the U.S.-Mexico border, putting the blame for the caravan squarely on the backs of the Democrats.
As we speak, the Democrat Party is openly encouraging millions of illegal aliens to break our laws, violate our borders, and overwhelm our nation. That's what's happening. The Democrats have launched an assault on the sovereignty of our country, the security of our nation, and the safety of every single American.
Now that message,
the number of times he had to step away from the microphone because the crowd was roaring and chanting, and he walked around with his arms out just soaking it up.
Right.
And laughing over and over again.
He's a guy with a 47% approval rating, and then he goes into places where he's super popular. And, I mean, the crowds go berserko, like Obama had. We're in an era of populism where people love their leader, their side. I mean, just love them in a way that it didn't used to be when I was younger. I mean, people cheered, but just the fever.
Right.
I remember that when Obama came on the scene and he'd get those crowds, Obama, Obama. It's just like, wow, I've never seen anything like that before. And I hadn't. And now Trump has got the same exact thing going.
I think part of it has to do with the accident of history when we grew up and became young adults and all. Because the post-Watergate era was fraught with cynicism and skepticism about politicians. And now we've all kind of forgotten and gotten all starry-eyed again as a country.
Trump obviously enthused by the enthusiastic crowds he's been drawn at the rallies for GOP candidates around the country. He's telling reporters that he sees now a tremendous spirit among voters that will power Republicans to victory in the midterms. So he is making rounds at the rallies and really, really stirring things up.
You know what tape we need is when he talked about the fake news media. And the crowd just goes nuts and chants CNN sucks. And,
that was awesome.
President, meanwhile, has dispatched the director of the CIA to Turkey in a quest to get more information about the death of the Saudi writer Khashoggi and weigh a possible U.S. response. Meanwhile, the Saudi King Salman and Crown Prince Mohammed bin Salman have just received the family of the killed journalist to express their condolences.
Oh, I'm sure that's sincere.
The royals receiving the journalist's son and his brother in Riyadh today. A friend of the Khashoggi family telling the Associated Press that the sons have been under a travel ban since last year. The individual speaking about the meeting on condition of anonymity, fearing reprisal.
Yeah, I'm sure that invitation was a very kind and generous one that they could have turned down if they'd like. No.
Hey, by the way, getting back to the Trump rallies briefly, USA Today talks about how Trump is campaigning unlike any president ever has. Leading into a midterm, by the time you get to Election Day, 2 weeks from today, he will have conducted more than 30 rallies in the last 5 weeks of the campaign, far exceeding anything Barack Obama or George W. Bush did. Thousands of miles, 30 rallies. He's really good at it.
Yeah,
he's
enjoys it, clearly.
He's got unbelievable energy for these kind of things. As a 72-year-old.
As a fat guy who doesn't exercise. He's a genetic freak.
Yeah.
And I wonder, you know, how much sleep do you think he gets a night? I've been trying to figure this out.
Isn't he a 4 or 5 hour guy?
I think so.
After night.
Can you imagine, though, if somebody said in the next 5 weeks we have to do 30 hour and a half to 2 hour events in front of giant crowds?
I'd fake my own death and disappear.
I'm like, oh my God, that's going to be the worst 5 weeks of my life.
Yeah, yeah.
He loves it.
Laps it up.
The Pantone Color Institute has come out with some advice we can all use on what colors to wear and not wear for photos. Now, Jack, you say you avoid flesh colors for photos.
Mm-hmm.
Their advice, solid colors are always best. Don't wear patterns. Don't wear pastels or whites. It'll make you look washed out. So what should you wear? Best colors are deep reds, teals, and other shades in the blue-green family, the most universally flattering family of all colors.
All right.
So there you go. If you're going out for a picture today, get yourself some teal.
What do you prefer, the blue-green family or the Saud family? Saudi Arabia.
That's your news. I'm Marshall Phillips, the Armstrong and Getty Show, the conscience of the nation.
That's right, we are.
Got a mom who is terrified of Halloween, has posted a job ad for someone to take her kids trick-or-treating on Halloween because she's scared of all the costumes and whatnot.
I'd do that. What does it pay?
She's a crazy person is what she is, huh?
My kids are growing up now. I'd be happy to do it.
Taking little kids trick-or-treating is awesome.
Remember to say thank you. I'm good at it.
It's fun.
From the street, how's it going, Jim? Good, good. Yeah, me too. Cool, thanks. And then you walk to your next neighbor. Do the same thing.
My kids have caught on that the grannies, as they call them, give out more candy.
Oh, yeah.
So you got to look for the houses that are run by grannies.
Probably have a chart, done some scouting.
They went to one granny's house last year. They gave out full-size candy bars. Oh. They still talk about it. Woo. Full-size Snicker bar. Oh.
That's winning the lottery.
It's still the talk of the town.
Wow. That's fabulous. Your eyes get wide. Oh, that's for me?
Me, I hand out one Skittle to each kid. Here's your Skittle. You get a purple one.
I remember
you get a yellow one.
I remember you used to go with cream corn.
Ladle out some piping hot cream corn.
That's right. Hold out your bowls, kids. You don't have any bowls? That's right. The bag will do.
You're listening to the Armstrong and Getty Show.
Armstrong and Getty.
The conscience of the nation. Of the nation. It was all yellow.
The Armstrong and Getty Show.
Headline on the caravan is it's going to take over a month to get here, but here is California, not Texas. Last time around, the big caravan landed in Texas, and I think that's what a lot of people were thinking, but they decided to head to California, which obviously is a more favorable destination for come on in, and you're a citizen in our eyes.
And Gavin Newsom will give you free health care, as a matter of fact. All 7,000 of those people make it in a couple of weeks, could have some really good news for you.
But it is going to take...
wreck the state. But
it's going to take like a month, so the landing part won't affect the election. It's actually timing out perfectly for Trump, I think.
Yeah, I would agree. So... in the larger cities, it's funny, I'm reminded we had a conversation just the other day, in the medium-sized cities and the smaller cities, all up and down the West Coast, you're seeing lots and lots of homeless people. Towns that never had a single person in them now have dozens, living in a camp at the edge of town or in an abandoned lot or whatever. It's really amazing. And given recent court cases and political restraints, nobody has any idea what to do about it. Over in Hung...
I'll tell you what you do. You go back to whatever we were doing 5 years ago, 10 years ago, when there were a lot fewer homeless people. What were we doing then as a society?
I would be curious to just, you know, look up 3 or 4 policies, benefits, rulings, and just change them back, see what happens. You ought to turn back the clock. Hungarian Prime Minister Viktor Orban has passed a constitutional amendment this summer that bans people from living on the streets. The vague legislation has been criticized as cruel and incompatible with international human rights law by United Nations experts. It's probably worth mentioning that he's one of your European leaders defending the continent's Christian identity against a Muslim influx. So that may have something to do with it. Hungary says it offers sufficient space in emergency shelters to accommodate all individuals without a home and would provide additional support starting this week. The law will actually save lives. The only way to get back on your feet after becoming homeless starts from getting temporary accommodation, because from there they can get social support, clothes, jobs, community work, and training, says the State Secretary of Human Resources, unpronounceable. Now, from leftier quarters, it's being criticized as inhumane and cruel. But assuming for the moment that that's true, that they have enough space for people, and if you want to go in, you can, I don't understand how that's inhumane and cruel. Unless you believe that the tax-paying citizens of a town, any town, have to put up with people living in the streets and parks and the rest of it. That wasn't the case for most of human history. I mean, at least Western civilization. You get your beggars in the streets in India and whatnot, but.
So what was that legislation? Was it in California where they're talking about hospitals are not allowed to kick a homeless person out unless they got someplace to go?
Until they've arranged food and clothing and housing for them.
And is that still making its way through the process?
I'm not sure where that stands.
That would be undoable, obviously, or as hospitals would immediately become just homeless shelters.
Yep.
You would never go to an ER because it would be completely out of control.
Right, right. Yeah, the hospitals are terrified of that. I don't know the status of that. Honestly, and that's one of the frustrations of, you know, big giant government in general, but corruptifornia in particular, is you hear about these outrageous laws and you think that can't possibly pass, but then it does with virtually no attention paid to it, partly because we're all obsessed with Trump and it's all about federal politics. So 90% of the population pays zero interest to their state and local governments.
I don't know anybody who's not pretty focused on this homeless issue.
Agreed. Or is at least acutely aware of it. I mean, people in small towns I know are aware of it.
Have you ever talked to anybody who says, oh, I haven't really noticed it gotten any worse in my mind?
Absolutely not.
No. Everybody says their town has changed completely from what it was 10 years ago.
In 2013, Hungary prohibited begging in many public spaces, threatening fines and prison sentences. They don't have the First Amendment over there, which the judges have ruled that, you know, begging is First Amendment right.
What the hell?
Hey, give me some money. That's free speech. Well, and I agree, actually, but homeless shelter operator Gabor Ivanyi warned that the law serves the aim of scaring the homeless to prompt them to flee the streets.
Yes.
They are scared and don't know what to do now.
So go somewhere else.
Right. I think that's exactly.
That's always been my policy.
Yeah. Yeah. Some homeless people refuse to move into shelters, citing unsafe conditions and the presence of drug dealers or the threat of illnesses. Psychologists also say that some individuals prefer sleeping outside out of fear of accumulations of people, which can be associated with a number of mental illnesses.
Wow.
By Monday, many homeless people had disappeared from the central streets of the country's capital, Budapest. According to Hungarian media outlets.
Yeah, I don't know what you do with all the mentally ill people. I have no idea. I don't know how you handle that. My youngest, with his various problems and all the time and money we're spending on doctors and this and that, and it looks like we may have got an appointment. I think we got an appointment with supposedly the person that's the best in the world at what we think he's got.
Mm.
The best in the whole world.
Wow.
So that's got to help, you would think. But anyway, a friend of mine said, what happens to someone like your son if they don't, you know, if they can't afford everything you're doing? I said, well, they get kicked out of school at some point, and then they end up homeless. That's what happens to them.
Yep. Or the family, in many heartbreaking cases, tries desperately to take care of them as long as they can. But once they become an adult.
Right. Then they do whatever they want to do.
Well, right. And it could be physically difficult or unsafe to try to compel them to stay at home. And you're on the road. Yeah, we do a terrible job with mental illness in this country. As, you know, my ongoing, the Joe Getty theory of civilization, that societies veer from guardrail to guardrail, way to one thing, then way to another. And they hit a sweet spot briefly, but they pass it so quickly heading to the guardrail on the other side that you never know you're in the sweet spot. And we should not be a country where I can whisper, hey, he's mentally ill. You probably ought to jail him. And the authorities rush in and grab you. I mean, that's been used by dictators through the years.
Jail, put in a hospital, same thing. You're not allowed to leave.
Right, yeah. Yeah, you're denied your liberty. Because that's an old-timey technique of dictators. The Soviet Union did that all the time. At the same time, to have, you know, incredibly insufficient and unhelpful programs available for mentally ill adults, and tons of them living on the streets, that ain't right either. What to do about it, I don't know. I'd like to quit our job and spend the next 2 years studying it and trying to come up with an idea, but it's not easy. There's a lot of stuff the government does that would be...
I think it's impossible. I think it's actually impossible.
What do you mean?
Unless you're gonna make people go, I don't see how it can possibly be dealt with.
You get a panel of professionals who certifies you $51.50. And once they certify that, and there's a review process.
Is specifically you're a danger to yourself or others, I think.
Okay, 5151, the new Joe Getty designation, where you are deemed to be non compos mentis. You can't take care of yourself.
You can't make it.
Right. You can't make it. And, you know, you can appeal that every couple of years. But if that's the diagnosis, then there are programs that you will be invited into.
Are you going to make them go? I think you got to make them go.
I don't know what the alternative is.
I honestly believe, yeah, exactly. Unless you're going to make people go to something like a mental hospital, in which case you're basically putting them in jail because they're not allowed to leave.
Yeah.
Then it can't be done. It's impossible.
Seems clear to me we have to have one of our panel shows and talk to experts on this, because it occurs to me that dragging them into a program they have no desire to be at and denying them their liberty is one cruelty. Not doing that and having them end up on the streets with the fear, the crime, the cold, the rain, the whatever else is going on the streets, that's another kind of cruelty.
That's another
Which
kind
one are you going
to
choose?
But that's a kind of cruelty to them and me walking right down the street past them.
Right.
So now you're being doubly cruel.
Well, and the victims of a lot of people, and I know, most mentally ill people are perfectly safe and gentle, but plenty are not. And so you got the victims of their crazy, crazy crimes.
Right. So which is the crueler? I think you got to lock people up. I don't know how you square that with the Constitution. Well, you can't. That's the problem.
Well, my careful 5150 designation with the appeals process and the panels of kind and benevolent experts when we can find them.
And then, as I've talked about, diagnosing their particular mental illness and treating it, it's whole nother level of thing.
Yeah, we're way ahead of where we were 100 years ago, but we're nowhere near the end zone on that. So this is perhaps the perfect example of perfect being the enemy of good enough, and good enough is fairly miserable too. Well, this is a depressing segment. Does anybody have anything funny to say? Anybody?
Nope.
John? Michelangelo?
Merkin.
Merkin. Michael, a public wig.
Yeah, Google it. Don't image search it. You're listening to the Armstrong and Getty Show.